Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 47. Acts chapter 2, following the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father. And this is the word of our God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose. For it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is God's word to us. And at this point, again, Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And all those promises of Christ, never leaving God's people, never forsaking them, especially towards the apostles and his disciples who are already there, who had already believed. All the promises of the Father and of the Son sending the Spirit that Jesus had made, and which we've seen already in John, and we'll see more of in John. Pouring him out upon his people. This is all fulfilled here in the history of the early church in verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of Christ comes with a great noise. A simile is used to try to express to us what it was like. It was like a violent rushing wind, loud. And the noise filled the house where they were at. And the Spirit came and he rested upon them. And following this, the people react in many different ways. Seeing this, verses 5 through 13, some were mocking and saying they were drunk with wine, and others were amazed and astonished because they could understand people who they could never have before understood because they were speaking different languages. Well, here they understood each other. And following this, Peter again gets up and he preached a sermon. Peter's sermon, perhaps this is just a paraphrase of his sermon. Maybe it's the whole thing, we don't know. But he expounded the scripture of the Old Testament where he showed that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that had just taken place was a fulfillment of what Joel had prophesied. I believe it's Joel chapter 2. And as Peter continues preaching in verse 22, he confirms that Jesus is the Messiah, though he had died. He rose from the dead, and he's the king that was promised who would reign forever as a descendant of David, the one who would come. It is Jesus. And Peter preaches in verses 33 to 36, the ascension of Jesus is confirmed. And that it was in fact the Father who sent the Holy Spirit. Other places we see it's the Son who sends the Holy Spirit. So it's the Father and Son who send the Holy Spirit. And what they saw and heard at that moment, it was the Spirit had been sent by the Father. Summary of this, verse 36, Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. That is Jesus, whom you crucified. That he's not only Lord, Yahweh, but he is the Messiah, who you have looked forward to. And speaking to the Jews here. It was by the Holy Spirit working through the preaching of the word that they, it says, were cut to the heart and they responded. Brethren, speaking to the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" How do we respond to this truth? And the proper response to life, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, where He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but His presence is still with them through the Spirit being poured out. The proper response is, there's only one response. Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, if you repent and you're baptized. For the promise, it says, is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. That is, for all who believe and repent of their sins. You will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the Spirit. And Peter continued preaching, encouraging the people to be saved from this perverse generation. Upon the preaching of the Word, the Holy Spirit convicting the people, 3,000 believed, and we would assume were baptized. And those believers continued in their devotion, listening to the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ that was coming through the apostles. They continued in fellowship with the church. They continued partaking in the Lord's Supper. And they continued partaking in prayer and praying for one another and praying to the Lord. And so they devoted themselves to the means of grace, like our confession would say. Now Christ was still at work by His Holy Spirit through the apostles. They continued with the Word. They continued with wonders and signs. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. They had a fear of the Lord. And they praised Him, from which every day people were being saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for this historical record of the early church after Christ ascended to heaven to Your right hand. We thank You that the Holy Spirit You poured out, You fulfilled the promise that You had made. Not only years before in Joel, but even as Jesus promised to the Jews and to His disciples in John 14 and John 16. I think it's John 16. He would send one after He went to the Father. Back into heaven. He would send the Spirit, the Comforter, the Guardian. And Father, we thank You that You are the God who is faithful to Your promises. You're always faithful. And that upon the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we see many things that we are to continually be devoted to. Just as these believers who are coming and first were believed and were baptized, what they devoted themselves to, which was the means of grace, and particularly the Word of God, the preached Word, the sacraments and prayer. And even here we see fellowship, the gathering together of God's people and worship and being together and how they cared for one another. And this, what we might call, which will later become somewhat like diaconal work in Acts 6, when the office of deacon is instituted by You. And here we see that they were caring for one another, which is a mark of true believers. That when someone's in need, we will be there to care for them. And they were going out and telling more people. They were evangelizing. They were preaching and proclaiming the gospel. And so, Father, we would plead with You that the gospel would go forth not only from the pulpit here, but in our worship, but also through each of us as we go to our various places of in this world, in our workplace, at home, wherever we go. We ask that the gospel would be upon our lips and be coming out, and people would hear. And that upon hearing, just as Peter was preaching here, we ask that You would send Your Spirit powerfully, and that people would believe. Believe in great numbers as they did here, that would be wonderful and amazing. But even just one, if just one repents and believes, we know that But the angels, even in heaven, rejoice over that much more than over the one righteous, or the 99 righteous. And so, Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit to accompany the Word, even this day, as we gather to worship you this morning. Any here who do not know you, who've heard the gospel preached many times, I ask that you would give them ears to hear, that they would be cut to the heart, and ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And that they would hear very clearly that they are to repent of their sins and turn to you, the living God, in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask that you would encourage us this day, rebuke us of our sin this day, and cause us to turn to you. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.